This is one in a series of podcasts from Lutheran Education Australia, My Principals Who Serve in Lutheran Education.
Hello, Lutheran educators. I'm Jane Mueller, Principal of Living Faith Lutheran Primary School, and I am delighted to welcome Kay Mathwin Cox to this week's LEA podcast. Kay is the Principal of Unity College in Murray Bridge, and this is her third principalship. She has also provided explicit support for the wider Lutheran education community through her work in the Lutheran Education Australia office in 2006. Kay is passionate about service and partnerships, and in particular, supporting communities that are not as well resourced as many of our Lutheran school communities. In today's chat, Kay is going to open our eyes to the partnership that has been formed between Unity College and a Central Australian community. I'm really excited to hear from Kay today. I'm excited for multiple reasons. Firstly, I myself am a graduate of Unity College back in the day when it was called Murray Bridge Lutheran School. And so I have a vested interest in the ongoing cultural development of the school. Secondly, for my undergraduate degree, I sub-majored in Australian or Indigenous or First Nations languages. And so I feel a deep sense of connectedness with many of the themes that will run through today's conversation. And finally, Kay's stories about the Kaslau program, together with her zeal and personal devotion towards the program, are nothing short of inspiring. Kay, it's great to have you on the podcast today.
It's great to be here, Jane. Thank you very much.
Unity College has developed the Kaslau program. Now, Kaslau, spelt C-A-S-L-A-U, stands for Central Australian Students Learning at Unity. Kay, give me your best elevator speech about the Kaslau program.
So, Jane, the Unity Kaslau program supports an Indigenous community with strong links to our Lutheran heritage. And we do that by working alongside the Arriyonga community. And the program itself enables students to walk tall in both worlds through an extension of their school beyond what is provided in Arriyonga.
Where is Arriyonga?
Arriyonga is about 3 or 4 hours west of Alice Springs.
Tell me, how has the Kaslau program evolved over time?
Well, the program started with an approach by a member of the Murray Bridge community who asked if we would consider teaching some students from a remote community outside Alice Springs. And we began with one teacher and one supporting LSO, and they were looking after up to about 20 students. However, it had its problems. You can imagine a group of students living together, eating together, learning together. It was just too intense. And so it's moved to a more mainstream process where our Arriyonga students now learn alongside our Unity students. So they're brought to Murray Bridge from Arriyonga each term. And after taking some time to adjust to what we call Unity Way, the students undertake lessons at Unity as just part of the whole community that is Unity College.
That's really special. You mentioned that the Arriyonga children come down to Unity, but Unity College sits on land that Nurundjeri people belong to. Did this present any barriers to establishing the Kaslau program?
No, it didn't. In fact, one of the things that we felt was really important was to gain permission and endorsement from the Nurundjeri community. And I think that was key to a good start.
Without first-hand experience, it's not possible to comprehend the vast difference between the Arriyonga community and the Murray Bridge community. Earlier, you used the term walking tall in both worlds. Kay, can you provide some insight into just how contrasting the Arriyonga world is from the Unity College world and what it means to walk tall in both worlds?
Jane, Arriyonga is a special place. It's an incredible place, but it's remote. And it's a community that is quite traditional in its approach. So our directive from the elders was to support their children to become the leaders of tomorrow in their community. So they asked us to help the students walk tall in not only our community, but in their community, to provide an education that helps them to lead their community into the future. However, it's hard to understand the difference between Western thinking and community thinking. So And I think the best analogy I got was from a non-Indigenous person up in community who said, if you can understand that walking into a yard in Arionga is like walking into our house. You don't do that without permission. And walking into our house is like walking into a community member's bedroom. So when you think about that, it's only right that we ask permission. It's important to show that that level of respect. So at Unity, we show the children Unity Way because we definitely have different expectations than the community does. And no expectation's better than the other. It's just different. So when the children and the students are here at Unity, they can walk tall knowing Unity Way, but when they're home in community, they walk tall knowing that they are there as leaders of tomorrow. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And what you're describing exemplifies the term come as guest, that is to enter another person's space with humility, with graciousness, curiosity and respect. Kay, English isn't necessarily the first or second language of Arionga children. Does that pose a problem for the students who come to Unity?
Well, yes and no. So Pitjantjatjara is their language. And they also have a number of dialects. So English may be their second, third or fourth language. And so it does pose a problem when it comes to studying. And some of our students are quite fluent in English, but others really struggle with English, particularly if it's their third dialect. So, and one of the times that I really noticed that was when we were undergoing SACE, and you'd think that in Australia, in a First Nation situation, that our students could actually study and learn and provide their assignments in their own language, but they can't. And so it's really, really hard for them when you think, okay, this is their, you know, their second or third language, and yet they've got to complete their SACE in English in Australia as first Australians. But it wasn't possible. I did try and get that sorted for them. I know SACE are looking at it, but I was pretty flabbergasted, to be honest. So in that way, yes, it is. But our students have a bit of a combination of capability when it comes to understanding the English language.
I love that your empathy for the situation, though, is driving you to be a change maker in that space. I think that that's really special. I understand that the Arionga community identifies with both the Lutheran faith and the dreaming. What have you seen in terms of the spirituality of the Arionga community?
I've been fascinated by the way that Arionga and the people in Arionga, the community, can actually really have a strong faith but still endorse their own spirituality and their traditional spirituality. Arionga has a Lutheran church. So we provide confirmation classes to our students when they're at Unity through either a pastor or our senior chaplain. And we've been involved in actual confirmations as well. And that has been incredible because they're in community when the students have their confirmations. And the community itself being traditional in so many ways, they've been able to link their scriptural passages with their own traditional beliefs. And I've been really grateful to Fink River and particular Pastor Rob Borges, who isn't there anymore, but he helped us to understand, as do many pastors, the strong correlation, I suppose, between Bible passages that have been embraced by traditional Australians as well as and traditional communities, as well as the fact that and they can meld it. It's fascinating. And I can genuinely say that the faith that you see in our Indigenous brothers and sisters in Arionga is just beautiful. It's incredible to witness. There are prayers before we leave and, you know, as a whole group, Pastor Daphne will spend a long time in prayer with the students, and they really, because they're very nervous, they really embrace that. And if a student is struggling here, straight away they will ask for someone to pray for them. and they really feel much more settled once that happens. So we always make sure that we ask if they would like a prayer. And you know, we had one student going to hospital. He had to have an operation, and straight away, pray for me, please, pray for me. So we make sure that we do that. So their faith is really strong, but yet they can connect with their own spiritual tradition as well. It's great.
Sounds like there's a lot that we can learn from the way that they cling so strongly to their faith.
Absolutely, yeah.
Kay, how are Unity staff and Unity's non-Arionga students engaged in the CASLAU program?
Well, now more so than ever, we now have our students mainstreamed into regular classes. So they have the opportunity to enjoy each other's company from year seven onwards. We usually pop them into classes in pairs so that they still have a link to their own community, but that's worked really well. We also have a service trip to Arionga each year, pre-COVID, of course. The year nines learn about the Northern Territory area. They learn about Arionga itself and its surrounds, but they also take part in lessons in the Arionga school with the students. So this is where service learning comes in. So they act as LSOs in the school. They go on work experience in the community. And this could be in aged care, childcare, the school, the shop, and the secondhand clothing shop. And incidentally, the secondhand clothing shop was set up by two of our Year 12 students as part of their SACE. So they now have a secondhand clothing shop in Arionga. But also with permission, the students will clean the church, they'll clean the school, they'll clean anywhere else that's needed. And all the while, our students are learning themselves, not only about country, but also about community and very much about culture.
Such a powerful learning experience for the Unity students.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What accommodations has Unity College been challenged to make in order to welcome the Arionga students?
I think the greatest accommodation, being traditional, Arionga still goes through men and women's business, and we cannot and won't have a say in when that happens, because we've got to respect the timing, and sometimes that's really hard because it could be at a really disappointing time of the Unity school year. It also sometimes can change attitudes towards learning, particularly when the boys become men. It's hard to get them back because, let's face it, they're seen as adults in community, but in our society, they might be 13 or 14, so they still need to take direction from us. So it's a big thing for young men to return to finish school. And you can imagine also feeling torn between their love of their community but struggling to leave to travel to Murray Bridge. So that's hard as well. But what I find is with the team that we have between Unity College and Arionga, because we have a team that encapsulates both communities, we find that we can work through that. The other part that's challenging is sorry business. Family is everything to our Arionga community. So if there's a passing, and it may not just be immediate family, we have to negotiate with the Arionga and the Unity team and the teachers to work through that. And sometimes it's tough on our teachers because they're seeing these students going back for sorry business, yet they've got assignments that have got to be done, that have got to be graded. So particularly at senior school, that's difficult. We have come to an agreement where sorry business is negotiated now, but we ultimately still have to respect the wishes of the community.
Mm. You mentioned earlier about the pandemic. What effect has the COVID-19 pandemic had on the CASLAU program?
Well, now, of course, we've got students in Northern Territory, in Arionga, that had to go back to community because of all the lockdowns that's been happening. So we've got students online learning in Arionga, and that's had quite an effect, again, probably through our senior teachers who can't teach online. So we've used our CASLAU LSO to work alongside the Arionga school to teach the students online. That's quite difficult for our Indigenous students, our Arionga students, but we're making the most of it and they're being quite successful. We're getting some support through TSU, which is the Transition Service Unit, and that's really important because they're helping to be that liaison between. But it's not easy for our students, any student, to be online learning. And you can imagine that could be even more difficult when you're looking at English as a second language or further. And it's also, they're back in community, so it's more relaxed, it's more casual, and yet here we are expecting them to learn online. But they are doing a tremendous job, and I'm so grateful for the team to make that, for the, making that happen.
Kay, Lutheran schools have made attempts at partnerships with communities in need, both within Australia and overseas, with mixed success. Why does the CASLOW program work? In other words, why has it flourished? What's its secret sauce?
I would say the greatest secret, the source, is it's about team. No one person has control. So we make decisions together. There's no one person making all the decisions or even one decision. We always come together with members of the team and we trust one another to make those decisions based on what is best for the students. No one person decides unless they've actually spoken to other members of the team. And that includes the team in Arionga, in community, as well as the team at Unity. And we walk alongside one another to make those decisions. Also too, Jane, we respect one another in the team because all we want is one thing, for our students to be successful. I think it's also about trust. The community has trust that we will look after their children, and they trust we will have their best interest at heart. And they also know that we're a school of faith and we will make decisions after prayerful thought. They know they will be communicated throughout that process as well. So it takes a lot of time. It really does. It takes a lot of time, but it's well worth it because we see this partnership as a way we can serve one another or serve another Lutheran community. And we know it's about valuing one another's cultures and respecting those cultures as well.
That level of investment, that depth of communication and collaboration shows really strong leadership by the team at Unity College as well. Kay, I was blessed recently to hear from you a range of very specific stories about your interactions with the Arionga community. And one that immediately comes to mind is when some Arionga students visited your home and jumped in your pool. You told me that it was in that moment you learned that Arionga children don't wear bathers. We call them togs in Queensland, but that they leap into the water fully clothed. What a great way to learn about how soap film can intensify your pool cleaning routine. Of the many rich stories, Kay, that you have about Unity's partnership and interactions with the Arionga community, which one brings you the greatest joy?
I think the greatest joy for me, it's always about spending time with the students in a more relaxed manner. Now, I took the students to Harbour Town with another colleague one weekend, and the students absolutely loved it, so much so that from then on they've always said, "We're going to Harbour Town again, Mrs. MC." But that particular weekend, we went down and had lunch on the Esplanade. So we had hot chips, I think it was, and they got to go on the beach. Now, some of these students hadn't seen the ocean. So it was the most amazing thing to witness these kids so excited about waves, about the shells, about white sand, things that we take for granted. It's just incredible. And I just find that it's building that relationship with the students. You get so much more out of it, but particularly being able to build that relationship out of school as much as you possibly can.
It had not even occurred to me, of course, now that I think about it, that children from Central Australia may not have been to a beach. Mm. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. And the laughing and the giggling and the running and the splashing and, you know, we weren't there. They just had the best time ever. It was great.
It's really special to see the joy in your eyes. Your eyes light up as you talk about these kids. And so continuing on a personal note, how has Unity's relationship with the Arionga community changed you?
I think the one word that comes up, and I think you might have mentioned it earlier, Jane, is humility. We have so much, and that's with all service opportunities, even the Indonesian service learning opportunities we have. It's all about humility because we have so much and often that's just not enough. And so that sense of community that other communities have, that sense of family, the sense of belonging. It's incredible. And it's something that humbles me and drives me to be a better person. And I just even, as an example, seeing the students at year 12 at the formal, seeing them dressed up. So we go through a process where there's a group that are called With Love Formal Wear, and they provide pre-loved formal outfits, and you give them the student's size. These are for children who cannot afford a formal gown or formal outfit, and they provide the dress, the shoes, the suit, the tie, the handbag, absolutely everything. So through them, we get them all decked out. I do their makeup from a past life. An ex-hairdresser does their hair. They have those most amazing outfits. And when they walk on that red carpet, it is just a joy to see. It's incredible. And the bonus is they get to keep an outfit that they may never, ever use again, but it's a special memory. And the following on from that at valedictory, because valedictory is at the other end of the year, seeing our families that we bring down from Arionga so proud to see their children in graduation gowns. And we had the added blessing a couple of years ago of the members of the Aboriginal Women's Choir singing at our service. The song keepers, there was a group of them that came as family, and so they offered to sing at our valedictory service. Goosebumps. It was amazing. We were so humbled by the experience. So again, it's humility. That would be my word.
Wow. Incredible, Kay. Kay, thank you for generously sharing Unity College's story about the Caslau program and your obvious passion for it. It just radiates through you. Unity College's tagline, I noticed, is we learn, care, engage, involve, inspire. And this tagline is clearly lived out through the Caslau program. What an authentic expression of innate dignity towards people who live in a world that is such a departure from the day-to-day world of families living in Murray Bridge. It's been a joy to spend time with you today, Kay.
Well, thank you, Jane. It's been a pleasure, and really enjoyed talking about something that's so close to my heart.
In the book of Hebrews, we're encouraged to remember to show hospitality to strangers, for in doing so, some people show hospitality to angels without knowing it. I wonder how many angels the Unity College community has encountered through the Caslau program.
If you enjoyed this podcast, check out the LEA website, where you'll find more podcasts on a range of topics for anyone interested in leading in Lutheran education.